We are studying the study of the Ten Sefirot, Part 10, page Taf Taf Pei Bet, Arim Lamed Bet 32. You can ask questions at Kab.tv. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Study of the Ten Sefirot, Part 10, page Taf Taf Pei Bet, the words of the Ari, Arim Lamed Bet 32. This Chochma, meaning Abba, was carved and brought Bina outside so that it won't be Samech to the Mem, to water the garden, and Lenika Lei, meaning Lishna Duafik Denakat Hacha, Velo Nakat Kehai Gavra Bekulhu. Kehai Gavna Bekulhu. In reality will be called Bina, a river that comes out from Eden. Again, 32. And this Chochma, meaning Abba, was carved and brought Bina outside so that it won't be Samech to the Mem, to water the garden and to nourish him, meaning Lishna Duafik and Nakat Kan, and he didn't use this language for everyone. And this way, the reality will be called Bina, a river that comes out from Eden. Inner Light, item 32. Abba was carved and brought Bina outside so that it won't be Samech to the Mem, to water the garden and to nourish it. The meaning of the verse is a river that comes out from Eden to water the garden, and he explains it with what he explained above, that a matter of the coming out of the river from Eden was done by the returning of Yesut to his Katnut, meaning that he returned and reawakened the Lord Hay in his Enayim. And the Abba of the Partsuf is in the Bechina of the Lor Hei in his Nikve Enayim. And it turns out that Abba was carved again as Nukva in Nikve Enayim. And again, he brought Bina outside. And then Yesut, which are Bina from the Bechina of the Parsa down, that they close the bottom two-thirds of Tiferet de Arech Anpin, which return to be sealed Mem, and thoroughly understand. And Abba did all that so that Bina will water the garden, which are her sons, meaning Zon.
Meaning again, we see that the Pertzuf of Yersut is also divided into complete and incomplete, Samech and Mem. And that is all in order to bestow to Zon. Go on.
Arim Lamed Gimel 33. Therefore, he preceded this Moach to the rest, for it is impossible for any Moach to be formed until Bina will come outside as sealed Mem, and will nourish the son, and his Moach will grow. And when she came outside, Ayel Bereisha de Zeranpin, and this is the pleasant son by what he suckles from his mother's milk, became that Moach, and like the milk which he suckles, grows his goof, and he waters all six edges. Again, item 33. Therefore, he preceded this Moach to the rest, for it is impossible for any Moach to be formulated until Bina will come outside as sealed Mem, and will nourish the son, and his mind, his Moach, will grow. And when she came outside, Ayel Bereisha de Zeranpin, and this is the pleasant son by what he suckles from his mother's milk, this Moach was made from it. And like the milk that he suckles, the baby grows his body. It is so to her guf, and he waters all six edges. Inner light. It is impossible for any moach to be formulated until Bina will come outside as sealed mem, because the main part of Zer Anpin is the Bechina of Vav, and a point which Yesod of Ak imparted upon Yesodot, the Abba Vima, the Nikudim. You already know that Vav and Nikuda, Vav and a point, this is the Bechina of the two Parim thirds of Nehi de Ak. And with the new light that fissured the Parsa, he returned and raised them after they fell to Bi'ah by the second restriction. Here too, in Atzilut, Yesod of Arich Anpin returns and renews them and imparts to the Yesodot of Abba V'Ima the Atzilut as known. And since they are from the Bechina of Nehi De'ak and Nehi De'atzilut, therefore they are not fit to receive Mochin De'gar, because the main gist of the ten Sefirot of Nehi, wherever they are only the ten Sefirot of Siyum, the ending ten Sefirot. And if so, how can Zer Anpin receive Mochin De'gar when he doesn't have receptacle vessels for them? And therefore, Yesud need to restrict themselves again in the Bechina of the Lord He in the Naim, and then they impart upon him the Kelim of their Sag, which are from the Bechina of above the Tabur. And from here, he becomes fit to receive the Mochin of Gar later on. And this is what he says, it is impossible for any Moach to be formulated until Bina will come outside as a sealed Mem, because then she imparts upon Zer Anpin her Kelim de Katnut, where the entire Mochin he receives later on during his Gedlut, he receives it in these Kelim, which he received from Bina during the Nika. And remember that, because this is the peg for all the Mochin of Zer Anpin.
Meaning the upper one has to descend, cause, and restrict himself in order to give the lower one gradually all of these degrees, that way he can feed, he can suckle and grow. Ask questions. Yes, Tzvika.
What does he mean by saying the new light which fissured the Parsa? Why new light? Why new light? Which? Where did it come from?
By the light coming, it annuls the borders and it connects, say, the upper half and lower half of the Pertzuf, or it raises the bottom part to the upper part, or it lowers the upper half of the Pertzuf to the lower half of the Pertzuf. It can only be done by the light to cancel the border between the two parts. Don't tie this to that, to what you think. It's also in the matter of birth, of contractions. It's all the same action. You have a certain border between a complete and an incomplete part, between Samech and Mem, and how can they two be connected? How can they turn into 10 complete Sefirot? So an incomplete state is formed, like we are. It's little and big. What's the difference? We connect the vessels of reception to the extent we're able to be connected with the vessels of bestowal. How is this done? By the force we add, that's called the light that reforms. The light that broke through the Parsa.
But he says he brought them up again after they fell to be after the second restriction. So what happens here? He returned and brought them up again.
Every part of the Pertzuf, which is the lower one, Tanhir of the Pratsuf, that is not connected to the upper half of the Pratsuf, Chabad Chagat, all of this lower half is called Bia. Yeah? That's Bia of the Pratsuf. The Pratsuf is divided into Ak and Atzilut before the Parsa, Keter and Chochmah, and below the Parsa of the Chazeh, it's Bria, Yetzirah, Asir, which is Tiferet, Netzach Od Yesod, and Malchut. This division is still from the world of Nikudim in the second restriction, remember? Remember? Everyone answer, yes or no? Everyone. 102. Okay. No, it's really in the world of Nikudim. The foundations are from there. If you can't remember, then Nekudot of Sag that came below, they have a part that bestows, part that receives. Here it bestows Chasadim, and here it receives the Prina Dalet. And then it's divided, and this part is called Persa, this division. Here is Chabad, Chagat, of the Nekudot of Sag. This is Galgalta, this is Anaim, altogether Galgalta and Anaim. Or it's called Ak of the Nekudot de Sag and Atzilut. And below, we have Tiferet. Tiferet, Netzach, Od, Yesod, and Malchut. So Tiferet is the world of Bria. Netzach, Od, Yesod, the world of Yetzirah, and Malchut, the world of Asiyah. Like that. This division comes to us from Nekudot de Sag. And then in every Pratsuf, in every place that we have this division, Chabad Chagat Nehi, and below Nehi, and if they're not connected together, this state is called Katnut, that here Malchut stands. Malchut that rose, and that restricted the place, the Bia. This is her Tzimtzum Bet. And that's it. In order to reconnect it into Ten Sefirot, then we need the light, Absag, to come. And this light, Absag, will break this border and will form Ten Sefirot, and that's truly how it's done. This light, this terrible light, Absag, came. So this light, Absag, came, and it shattered everything. So what's done? We have the world of Atzilut. We also have this division to Galgalta Einayim and Achap. However, in the world of Atzilut, we already have restore this part of Galgalta Einayim. That's called the world of Atzilut, the good, sacred part. What we have here, Briya Yetzirah Asiya, and Neshamot, that have been shattered, all of that we raise to the world of Atzilut. So in order to raise it to the world of Atzilut, we need strength from above that will come, that will bestow. But it's a special force. It already comes filtered to us. It already comes graded. It doesn't shatter the border between Galgalta Einayim and Achap. It influences in such a way that part of the Achap can already rise to Galgalta Einayim, can already join Galgalta Einayim and bring this Gadlut above the Parsa. That is called Kippur Raglaim, folding legs, when you fold your legs upwards. And then you have no shattering. Of course, part of it still remains below. That's called that instead of raglaim, instead of legs, you use kabaim, you use crutches. So we have all these depictions. But until the end of correction, that's at least how you correct yourself. Yes.
Now, on the right side, you wrote Chasadim. In the middle, you wrote Parsa. And on the right side below, you wrote Daled. Shouldn't it be Light of Chochma there? Chasadim below the Parsa? No. Chasadim, this is because they come from Sag. Sag bestows Chasadim. And these Chasadim, they enter Nehi de Galgalta. Nehi de Galgalta, which filled the additional chasadim, they're saying, now we want to receive chokhmah. Now we can do it in order to bestow. And then they come here with that desire, with that great desire. But Sag, he knows what to do. And he's completely not in it. He restricts himself. He doesn't have anything to receive from either. These are actions only of Nekudot Desag. So he restricts himself. But this Roshem, this imprint that they wanted to receive Chochmah in order to bestow, remains in Nekudot Desag. And when Nekudot Desag came out, again they return to the same demand. And then they shatter. This is this Daled. It's very cunning, very tricky. So this is the whole thing. All the corrections revolves around her. So what exactly happens with the Parsa? Why do we need the Parsa for with the two lights? What happens exactly in the Parsa? Parsa separates between Kelim of bestowal and Kelim of reception. Exactly. So what happens there with the light of Chasadim and the Daled, what happens at that point? Where, in the point of Parsa? Yes, what's going on there?
In the Nekudot of Parsa, it is the point of free choice.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
Why do you say everyone doesn't understand?
Whose choice? It's not a choice of the lights. It should be something external.
Yes, one determines the whole world to a scale of merit or debt.
Whose choice?
The person's choice, who else?
So now you're putting man inside. We didn't see him till now, Adam. Till now all we had are lights and vessels.
Where are these lights and vessels?
Where are they?
It's been said that besides the human, there is nothing. Is there anything else other than the person?
There is the force of the Creator.
It's been said.
So it's been said.
But seriously, what we discover is this person, and this person discovers within him, although it seems, it might seem it's outside of him, but it's actually it's in him.
So where I am, let's say me here, where are we here in this diagram with Chasadim, Dalit, Pasa? Where are we today at this class sitting here? Where are we in this diagram?
First of all, there is no time, there is no place, there is no classroom or study hall. You have one creature, and we're talking about that creature.
And where are we at this point of time? Where are we?
Why we? Why us?
So who does? You just said it's Adam, the point of the point of Parsa. So we don't understand anything. So why do we need this diagram for? Now we're studying the study of the Ten Sefirot. Take me for example. Where am I? Let's say in a general way, where am I in this picture?
I don't have room here. I would add you in here, this red blur, that's where you would be. But there's no room here for you because you don't exist. You don't exist. With respect to this illustration, you do not exist. This talks about your qualities. However, ones that already have a direction, contact with the bestowal, and in you, according to how you identify, there still is no contact and connection with bestowal. Therefore, you have no room in this illustration.
You're saying that the Pasa is the crossing of the barrier. So I'm going down. I'm still not there, so I'm supposed to be in the area of the letter Dalet, Mitzvik. I'm supposed to be in the area of letter Dalet before the Pasa. I'm advancing in the direction of the Pasa. So I do exist. So why do you say that I don't?
I agree to some extent, really. To some extent, I agree. The fact that you exist in the Dalet, in the fourth, that is certain. However, we're talking about the way you identify yourself with respect to the creature. We're talking about how he feels. So you currently have no sensation of what this illustration depicts us, illustrates.
Let's put it this way. So why do we study it for?
In order to somehow form contact, yearn, to draw from these actions we're learning about, to draw the light that reforms, to see that how many actions exist which are opposite from me, that I'm distant from them, I have to come closer. It really brings a person closer. Tell me, what would you learn about spirituality?
About the connection, unity, bonding between the friends.
If you will read the other texts. In the beginning, the Creator created the land and the sky, and so on, Genesis. A story that brings you to no understanding where I am, where the Creator is, what is the contact between us, how can I rise to Him? No such thing. Or talk about deserts, serpents, things like that. God forbid. I'm not talking about the actual text. I'm talking about how a person sees it. This poor person, this challenged person, how does he perceive this? A person reads the Talmud, two people holding on to a talit and so on. What would you understand from there? Also, it talks only about these things, about connection between human beings to the upper force. But what, will you understand anything from that? Or there's the Agadot, the tales, these seemingly mystical stories. What are they talking about there? In other words, you have no language that you will certainly not be wrong in, or you can say like the Jerusalem Kabbalists, it's been given to us in order for us to read, just read, to know it off by heart, to know exactly, as Baslam says, that they study it, they know everything that's written. However, there are people that get this, that accept this as a Torah. What does that mean? That from the study, they get the light that reforms, and that is the main intention of theirs. And then, it doesn't really matter what I understand, no? I don't need to understand, I need to change from within. Because to understand in my current mind, I can't anyway. These are different, these values there, it's something else.
So what can I hold on to here about myself?
You're still studying. This is vessels of reception. This is vessels of bestowal. This is ibur, conception, restriction, rise, fall. You're learning about what's happening. And in addition, this truly does happen inside of you. Although in discernment you still do not feel in a way that's concealed. Just like many actions that take place in your body, you don't feel. Do you feel how your body is working now? And thousands of actions. No, you don't feel it. No, also here you don't feel it, but slowly, gradually, by somehow saying, how does he say in item 155 in the intro to Tas? by yearning to know them, the lights appear in you more and more, and they give you different sensations, different feelings. Still, look at your questions now with respect to your questions a year ago. That's an advancement.
So a Kabbalist, he doesn't know, well, let's say the Ari, the Ari wrote it, right? So he was a certain kind of craftsman who really knew all this technique as someone who really achieved this root soul. He feels it. What, they're all the same, or is there a difference between the roots of the souls? Everyone who's not there understands it the same way?
At the end, everyone has to know it to the slightest precision, to know the entire system, because it is the structure of everyone's soul. But each one in his own manner, just like in our world. There are changes. I don't know exactly to tell you that, to what extent each one will understand and know, but I can imagine. Just like one is a musician, he feels the world of musical notes. The other one, the artist, feels the world through his art, through the other one through fashion. The fourth one, ask doctors, they look at each and every one, whoever walks on the street, they examine the extent that they're whether healthy or sick, each one in their own way. But each one, from the root of their soul, attains the entire system. And then, we're included from one another, and we reach, in the end of correction, something that's whole.
In their feeling.
In one's feeling, and from the feeling comes the understanding. Our vessels are vessels of sensation, of feelings, desire. And beyond this desire, beyond these scrutinies, is the mind, the brain, and standing. One who changes his vessels of sensation begins to understand. To the extent a person advances with a correct study, he understands less intellectually. So I see you're happy. Why? Because until he won't change his vessels of sensation, his receptacles, he won't be in contact with matter. Now, his receptors have changed, and then he begins to add in his understanding. This is like that, this is like this. He begins to feel what's happening with me, what's happening here, what's happening here. He has this inner shock, these inner vessels to understand something is taking place. And that leads him to scrutiny. And from this comes the understanding. That is called the heart understands. We're not going to study this way. No. Yes, Danny.
Something you told Tzvika. Who decides on the second restriction? Malchut, or who decides on it?
Apkuda magia mirosh desak.
The command comes from Rosh Desag. It's decided, though, by Malchut of Insof.
Okay, in the recent days, from the text, it turns out that Bina, she can be wherever she wants to because she's all chassadim. And on the other hand, she has a role, a duty in the system, so she can't be wherever she wants to.
She has no restriction. It means the light of Chassidim fulfills all of reality. It's filled freely in every place where there is a need with respect to the place, will to receive. It's called a place.
Okay, so there are two factors here in the system with the free choice. Bina and the person, Adam, who tries to climb. Can it be like this?
Bina has no free choice.
Okay.
Bina is a law. A law means a clear force working in reality. Does Earth have any choice to attract an object in the air? No, there's no choice here. There's a law. Choice is where we are in the unknown. There can be choice. But wherever there is a clear law, a revealed one, there is no choice. Yes. Lady always wants to ask.
He writes here, for no moach can be formulated until Bina will come outside the seal of Mem and will nourish the sun and his moach will grow. Few questions. When he writes here moach, mind, this is the single of mochin or is it something else?
We'll learn that later.
Okay, and what does it mean that Bina will come out?
Bina will come out just like she came out of Arichanpin. What is Rosh? Rosh is Keter Chochma Bina. What's Guf? Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. Right? That's how we divide it. There are other divisions as well. There's 10 Sefirot in Rosh, 10 Sefirot in Toch, 10 Sefirot in Sof. But however, Rosh is called perfection. Perfection are the qualities of the Creator. Purely.
Pure
meaning without any contact with the creature. It's Keter Chochma and Gar Debina. Do you agree to that? Everyone agrees? Understand? Keter Chochma, Gar Debina. These are the qualities of the Creator. That's Him bestowing without any relation to the creatures. Then Zad Debina already wants to bestow, to receive. He wants to. This is already the womb. This already begins to be the business of the lower ones. So, what was your question again?
I was asking, what does it mean that Bina comes out?
Okay, so what does the Bina do? Zat the Bina. Actually, the entire Bina, but let's say it comes out outside of the Rosh, although she belongs entirely to Rosh, but she comes out in order to be included with the Malchut and take care of her. In other words, she feels that she has to entirely be in the Malchut with her thoughts, with her desires, like Ima with her baby. Does she have thoughts about anything else? No. She's completely immersed in his desires. What does he want? What does he need? And so on. Everything for the baby. That means that she has no Rosh, no head, but she is completely devoted to the baby. That's why we call Bina Elokim, meaning it's a special Rosh, which is destined for us. We have contact with this system, and we don't discover any more than that. What she rises to Arichanpin and so on, then you can ask, where did they discover this if they wrote it? That's true. But they wrote this because they were included in Abba and Imma, and then Abba and Imma rise to a high degree, to the upper one. Yes?
When Bina comes down and takes care of Malchut, I don't quite know how to ask it, but is she still a part of the Rosh? Is she still in a place where...
That's a question. Is Bina connected to the Rosh when she takes care of the lower ones or not? If she takes care of Chasadim, no problem. If she continues the Chochmah, there's a problem. Understand how it's all closed? Yes.
Does it mean that Bina is a kind of a messenger?
Of course, a messenger. Bina is like Keter. Keter, she has a desire to bestow like Keter, but her desire to bestow is after the desire to receive. Keter has no desire to receive. Keter is only the thought of creation. There, there is the creature as a point, as existence from absence. That's the shoresh. Pchina Aleph is already the creature. It's already the will to receive developed by the light, by the Creator. And Bina is already a reaction of the will to receive, a reaction that he wants to bestow. Meaning the force of bestowal that awakens on behalf of the creature, the first one, that is the Bina. And therefore, with respect to us, that is a scale of measurement, that is something that we can, if we reach Bina, we reach Keter.
Last question. Bina, when she takes care of the lower ones, she does what she's been told in Keter, or she herself decides what to do?
No such thing, she decides what to do. How can that be? She can't also take care of herself. She needs to get force. All the qualities of Bina come from Keter. To the extent she awakens, to the extent she comes from Malchut, she's in between. She has nothing of herself. What's from above, that comes to her instinctively from Keter, and from below, to the extent that she can instinctively take bestowal and realize it.
It's like the nerve system in the body, or am I going too far here?
Enough. Yes.
I want to ask about the line that separates between the quality of bestowal to the quality of reception. It seems to me, if we can see the diagram, that sometimes we're talking here about three different places. Sometimes we say that only Malchut is reception and the first nine are bestowal, and sometimes we say that the line goes through the middle of Zer Anpin, the middle third of Tiferet. And before you said that it's pure bestowal and it is in the middle of bestowal, so these are three different places. Can you explain when each is which?
A baby cannot use his legs, although he has legs, right? He lies down. He can't even sit up. Of course, nevertheless walk. So that's a sign that he has a will to receive in these legs of his, but he cannot yet use them in order to walk. Do you understand? Walk meaning walking towards the Creator. He cannot. Therefore, he lacks this strength in them. So he has this force of desire, but it's just not corrected. In that case, where is Malchut? Malchut is above these laglaim, above these. So what are you asking? Now you can say, hold on. But if he also cannot work with his hands, where is the limit? Where is the border? The border, then, is above the guf. He has only Rosh. What does he have in his Rosh if he can't activate his body, his guf? If he cannot activate his Nahi, also in his Rosh he has no Nahi. He cannot activate them. It's as if it does not exist. And if he cannot activate his body at all, he's called an ubar, an embryo. And then what does he have in his mind? Nothing, the point of Keter.
If I got you right, sometimes we're talking about the border in potential and sometimes about the actual border in practice.
He says there's no limit. He says the following, the Reshimo is that very same reality, only that it's not revealed to the creature in a practical manner. In spirituality, you have nothing that disappears. You have no absence in spirituality, but it's all with respect to the attaining person. I'm satisfied that you guys are starting already to get confused. ask questions. No, Amikam, come on. Mercy.
He writes that it is impossible for any mochin to be formulated and so on, because the main part of Zer Anpin is from the Bechina of Vav, in a point which Yesod De'ak imparted upon Yesodot De'abavim of the Nikudim. As I recall, Nikudim, the concept of Katnut is Kitra, Abba V'ima, and Zon, down to the Tabu. Which Yesodot do Abba V'ima have? It is like he's saying that Abba V'ima had no reason to shatter.
The reason of the shattering is as a result that Vav of Nekuda from Nehide Galgalta came to the world of Nikudim in Katnut.
But he's saying Yesodot de Abba V'ima, as if there are two Yesodot, Yesod of Abba and Yesod of Ima.
Abba and Ima, yeah.
So if there are two Yesodot, it means that also Zon, or Zer Anpin and Nukva, are above the Tabu.
Above Parsa.
Yeah, above the Parsa.
Very good. Okay. You're talking about Katnut of the world of Nikudim.
Yeah.
That we have Keter, Abba V'ima, Abba and Ima now, and Zon, and all in Katnut. This Dalet comes, this Vav and Nekuda is called Dalet, and awakens Abba V'ima, awakens them to couple in Yesodot of Abba V'ima in Rosh of Nikudim, right? Abba V'ima couple, they bring this great light, which enters Katnut de Zon, gives Zon Gadlut, and is shattered. And Zon are shattered.
And later on he writes, perhaps that will explain my question. And at that point there are the two bottom thirds of Nehideak, and with the new light that Fisher the Pasa, he brought them up again after they fell to Bi'ah. And that means that in Atzilut, it happens in Arich Anpin.
Well,
it is as if the light of Absag closes Arich Anpin, which Fisher the Parsa.
All the words of Chochmah are early in Arich Anpin, and Abba and Ima need to rise to Arich Anpin in order to compensate, to complete the Zon. And in Atzilut, it's all in the form of rising. In the world of Nikodim, it was all in the form of descending, where the vessels of reception are. That's where the light came to, therefore they shattered. In the world of Atzilut, it's all by the ascent of the vessels of reception to the vessel of bestowal. What does that mean, ascending? There's no ups and no downs. It's a matter of this special connection that we include the vessels of reception in the vessels of bestowal. Remember the example of Rabash? You dip your cake in whiskey, and then no problem, you can drink a cup of whiskey. The doctor prohibited that you drink, but he didn't prohibit you to eat cake and whiskey.
So basically, the whole difference between the world of shattering and the world of Atzilut is exactly it. Here too, in Atzilut, Yesod, the Arich Anpin, returns and renews them, meaning Absag, and he imparts upon the Yesodot of Abba V'ima the Atzilut. It didn't happen in the world of shattering. Who had to take the role of Arich Anpin in Katnut, in the world of Nikudim, which wouldn't have caused the shattering?
Arich Anpin makes all the corrections on the condition that Abba V'ima rise to him with the Zon. Period. Moving on to the next part.
And before we do, let's sing a song together.
Bye, baby.